This is an encore presentation of Sovereign Minds on KCNR.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Laka, laka, boom. Wow.
Let's go.
It's,
Let's go.
Let's go, he says.
Wow, we're back. We're back. It's Sunday, March 24th, once again. Maybe turn up my headphones just a hair, if you can, over there.
I guess I'm more. Maybe I'm, think it's this one. It's, I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, that's perfect. A little more down just a perfect. That's right. Perfect.
Okay, right. Let's see here. I'm all playing right. With name, the knobs.
My name is Mark Kent, and I'm your host. Once again, it is Sunday, and you're listening to Sovereign Minds, the radio, instead of the podcast, which we're doing more and more of. And but it is tax
sometimes,
season.
Yeah, it is tax season.
Tax season, and we are buried to the brim. It's ridiculous. We are not taking on any more clients at this present time. Just so you know.
No more, no more, no more.
No more, no less. So. I'm here in the great state of Jefferson with my sister Linda, who does all the heavy lifting.
Good morning, everybody.
And the kid that rocks around the clock, faster and speeding internet connection, more prevalent high speed download, 10th grade black belt, Ram, the Cyber Ned Johnson.
Good morning.
All righty then.
Oh boy. Okay, so I guess we've might as well talk about our sponsors here. Also, we got Chris. I like to call her Chris instead of Christina, but she's doing a great job in there. And all the conspiracy theories are true. No, she's not listening. Oh, never mind.
Oh, I guess that all depends on.
Excuse me.
Good morning, Christina.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We were ready to have some colors.
Oh,
do we? Is that the ones that are on the board?
No, it's Lee. Let me put him on line.
Lee? Okay, put Lee? Him on the line. We'll Lee. See who Lee is. I know one Lee.
I know
are
Lee.
You there, Lee? Good morning. Good morning.
You're on the air.
Good morning.
Yes.
Oh,
we got somebody turn the radio off.
Lee, turn your radio down.
It's down.
All right. What can we do for you?
I have a question on the Second Amendment subject. How about that judge that ruled that all migrants can now carry guns or own guns in the United States to come across the border without any weapons checks, background checks, anything?
Well, there's no problem here. We'll just let all the illegal aliens have guns, but we'll put restrictions on our local, actual citizens.
Yeah, we'll let them have constitutional rights, but not the citizens.
Is there a problem here?
Well, and so one of the big things that I was thinking about on this, and originally I was just as appalled, but then I got to thinking about it, and the rights of the Constitution are God-given. They're not made by the government. The biggest problem that I see with it is not that they're allowed to have the constitutional rights that was given by God, but that they're enforcing laws unconstitutionally against their own citizens. So as far as I'm concerned, I've got no issues with them being able to have the God-given rights that we have, but I have
if they were given legal entry, the problem with that statement is that if they're not given illegal, if they're illegals coming in, so if a foreign army's coming in, they have constitutional rights too?
Isn't that kind of tyrannical? I'm just asking.
If I identify as an illegal migrant, and I can carry a gun without a concealed weapons permit.
Sure, why not?
Sounds good to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the
perfect
way it seems.
Yeah.
Perfect. Hey, thanks for the call, Lee.
I believe we have another caller, Leanne, I believe. Am I right, Christina? Is Leanne on the phone?
Are you there, Leanne?
Hello.
I think you still have me.
Well.
I don't think you're Leanne. We're working at it. Sorry about that.
All right. Well, let's move on here. Okay, so...
Wait. I think we have another caller.
No more callers.
Oh, no more callers.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
Well, let's get to our sponsors. We're brought to you by Julie Foster, Allstate Insurance Agents down in Red Bluff, 810 Main Street. And her phone number is 530-527-5534. She's the best, and we'll take care of all your insurance needs. And I say that from the heart. I know Julie personally, and she's a great person, and she really knows her business. Also, Luke Pearson Construction, Custom Homes and Excavating, 530-605-9575, licensed and bonded, and Crockmasters.
Yes, Jeff Worst down there. I get to go see Jeff tomorrow afternoon.
Yay.
To get a crack fix to my windshield. He guarantees his work down there. He's the best in the North State. He guarantees his work, like I say, and he's a great guy down there, veteran and locally owned, and we love you, Jeff. And if you want to see him, go see him at 3208 South Market Street or give him a call, 530-241-8373.
Well, also Mountaintop Media, and Mountaintop Media now has a new
news cycle.
A new news cycle. It's Mountaintop Times, and you can go to mountaintoptimes.com or mountaintopmedia.com and get all the information you need on that. Because it's, we're going to have to start turning more and more to alternative news sites other than the mainstream legacy, meathead media.
Are they even news cycles? I mean, really, when you just get up there and you create a narrative war and you just spew lies, is that news?
No, that's misinformation. I have a little clip on misinformation.
I have to say, how can they even call themselves a news station?
Well, they are the misinformation, the board of truth.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's right. So that's it, folks. So anyway. We got a bunch of stuff to cover here, so we might as well get started before. And we have some guests coming in later on in the second hour.
Mm-hmm.
And so, speaking of the Ministry of Truth, here's a little clip from Tucker Carlson, and I want to play this, and then we'll move on to the next segment and maybe make some notes here and have some talking points. But I think this kind of addresses what we were sort of talking about here. Let's go. Are we ready in there?
Get
a thumbs up.
Yep.
A thumbs up.
All right, here we go.
The defining fact of the United States is freedom of speech. To the extent this country is actually exceptional, it's because we have the First Amendment to the Bill of Rights. We have freedom of conscience. We can say what we really think. There's no hate speech exception to that. Just because you hate what somebody else thinks, you cannot force that person to be quiet because we're citizens, not slaves. But that right, that foundational right that makes this country what it is, that right from which all other rights flow, is going away at high speed in the face of censorship. Now, modern censorship bears no resemblance to previous censorship regimes in previous countries in previous eras. Our censorship is affected on the basis of fights against disinformation and malinformation. And the key thing to know about these is they're everywhere. And, of course, they have no reference at all to whether what you're saying is true or not. In other words, you can say something that is factually accurate and consistent with your own conscience, and in previous versions of America, you had an absolute right to say those things, but because someone doesn't like them or because they're inconvenient to whatever plan the people in power have, they can be denounced as disinformation, and you could be stripped of your right to express them, either in person or online. In fact, expressing these things can become a criminal act, and is. And it's important to know, by the way, that this is not just the private sector doing this. These efforts are being directed by the U.S. government, which you pay for and at least theoretically own. It's your government. But they're stripping your rights at very high speed. Most people understand this intuitively, but they don't know how it happens. How does censorship happen? What are the mechanics of it? Mike Benz is, we can say with some confidence, the expert in the world on how this happens. Mike Benz had the cyber portfolio at the State Department. He's now executive director of Foundation for Freedom Online. And we're going to have a conversation with him about a very specific kind of censorship. By the way, we can't recommend strongly enough. If you want to know how this happens, Mike Benz, B-E-N-Z, is the man to read. But today we just want to talk about a specific kind of censorship, and that censorship that emanates from the fabled military-industrial complex, from our defense industry and the foreign policy establishment in Washington. That's significant now because we're on the cusp of a global war, and so you can expect censorship to increase dramatically. And so with that, here is Mike Benz, Executive Director of Foundation for Freedom Online. Mike, thanks so much for joining us. And I just can't overstate to our audience how exhaustive and comprehensive your knowledge is on this topic. It's almost unbelievable. And so if you could just walk us through how the foreign policy establishment and defense contractors and DOD and just the whole cluster, the constellation of defense-related, publicly funded institutions strip from us our freedom of speech.
I'm going to stop it right there, and I just posted that in the chat room. The whole it's an hour out of your day. I highly recommend that you watch it. Very important stuff that this Mike Benz is coming out with, and we're getting it through the alternative media, obviously with Tucker Carlson, who is becoming the mainstream media because, you know, we're starting to see a big, huge shift away from all of these legacy media outlets because of their misinformation, because they don't tell the truth. I mean, how many times do you have to be lied to before you say, hey, you're a liar? Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of what's going on, but I posted that so that everybody can, you know, see that, and I think it's very important that you do look at that and see what's going on. And, you know, I mean, when you start talking about we're on the cusp of a war and the U.S. government is implementing this stuff, and the last program we talked, they talked about China. I mean, it doesn't take a whole lot of rocket science to put the two together to figure out that that's actually happening. What's going on is that, you know, we do have China who's got a war going against the United States, and they're trying to collapse it from within. And it's pretty basic if you just do a little bit of homework and pull your head out of, you know, the mainstream media misinformation blocks. That I just, you know, it's unbelievable when you some of these people that I see online and at the neighborhood, they are so screwed up.
Some of them are, yeah.
That they're and it's like that Russian thing we played last week, that they can't discriminate between the truth and a lie, even if their life is on the line at this point, some of them.
No, they don't even try. You know, they just, I don't know, I would say like go along to get along, but that's not even what they do. It's insane, you know.
It is insane.
It's totally insane. They're like robots in a way, you know what I mean? They have no thinking on their own. They have no desire to do anything else except what they tell them to do on that side.
Yeah, it's crazy. So
yeah.
Tucker's been coming out with a lot of stuff, and here's another example. I'm going to play a little bit of this. This is another Tucker expose on government's monopoly, and it talks about how they persecute and prosecute journalists who don't toe the mark in the right way.
Before we played, I was having a conversation yesterday with some people, and I said, you know, the problem is now is they find the crime, then they find the person. And that's what they're doing with these journalists and stuff, is they're finding the ones that they want to peg with stuff.
Or they just charge a crime that doesn't exist.
That's like, what I mean. This is a crime we want, so let's go find the person to put in that slot.
Well, Trump is the classic example of what we're talking about as far as him being prosecuted in New York right now, for example.
Yeah.
The fact is that everybody that has any common sense at all is coming out and saying, what are you prosecuting him for? And the biggest ironic thing that happens, okay, they said that he's being prosecuted because he said that Mar-a-Lago was only worth $18 million.
Right.
And he got a loan based on that. He said what it was that the New York said it was only worth $18 million. He said it was worth like $250 million or $350 million or whatever it was.
It doesn't
and then
really
the bank,
matter.
The bank came back and said, well, we think it's this, and then we'll give you the loan based on that. So they were negotiating. That happens every single day in real estate markets if you're trying to get a loan against a property based on its equity. Anybody who's been in real estate knows this. I mean, it's just stupid. But they said, oh, he was fraudulent because he based it.
He inflated the numbers is what they're trying to,
based on the property tax statement, because right. The property tax statement, he is paying taxes on 18, million, which is, okay, anybody who has any common sense knows that you try to get the lowest value you can for a property tax statement, so you pay the least amount of property taxes. That's kind of the game. But you say that it's worth the most that you possibly can if you're trying to get a loan against it. That's the game. Well, that's what they're prosecuting him for. Now, CNN comes out yesterday or the day before and says, oh, Letitia James is going to sell all his properties, and we think that we can get $250 million for him on the sale of the properties because, that would be a quick fire sale. Now, wait a minute. He's being prosecuted because you said that it was only worth $18 million, but if you seize it and sell it, it's
now it's worth
$250 million
it gained equity. Don't you know you gain equity when you do a fire sale?
these people are crazy. Okay, they're bat crap crazy. They have no idea because if you do this, you're circumventing several rules of the Constitution, right to contract, Article 1, Section 10, Clause 1. You're circumventing the Eighth Amendment to the Constitution, excessive fines and bail imposed for something that's not even a crime.
Right, and who got harmed?
Who got harmed
in this?
If you look up the statute of fraud, you have to have a victim to have a fraud. There has to be somebody that was harmed. Who's harmed here?
Yeah.
There's no harm because the bank got paid back.
They made money.
They wanted to lend him more money because they got paid back with interest on the money that they lent him. And so who is being defrauded? Oh, the people of New York? Well, wait a minute. The property is in Florida.
Right.
So
what right to, yeah, it, the whole thing is just ludicrous with
well,
that.
Well, she's obviously got an vendetta. She ran on the fact that she was going to go after Trump no matter what. And we're seeing a coordinated effort by our government who is in collusion, as we just found out in the last program, with China.
Right.
Accepting bribes. That came out this last week. Joe Biden. Oh, now they got an absolute check right from the Communist Party through his brother Biden.
Right.
You had testimony all over last week. Bob Alinsky, former partner, damning testimony. And did you see any of that on mainstream news?
I didn't see it anywhere except Twitter or someplace, Epoch News.
Forbes on YouTube's been reporting on it to a degree. But The point is that they are so out of control. If this continues, then there will be a complete takeover of the United States, if not by China, by our own government in collusion with China.
Yeah. Well, and everybody's always so quick to say, oh, our defense spending, it's out of hand, it's out of control. The interest on our debt is about what we're spending on our entire defense budget.
Well, it's $1 trillion currently, and it will go up to $2 trillion at the current rate of spending by next year, and our budget is like $4 trillion and some change. Do you think that this is going to cut into some of the programs, you know? I mean, especially if you're giving, like, free health care to illegal aliens. Now they got squatters in New York that are taking over.
Over that they can't get rid of.
And then they just killed a woman. Two squatters killed a woman in New York. They found her in a bag.
Mm-hmm.
And Trump's the bad guy because he's not letting every illegal alien in the world unvetted come into the country. And we're not going to see a terrorist attack or anything like that either, right?
And it's coming out more and more that the money going over to Ukraine and stuff is making its way back in, you know, to get these people into our government.
Okay. Here's Trump's latest clip from yesterday, I think it is. It's 15 seconds, and it's his campaign ad. And this is Joe Biden at the start of his presidency or prior to it shortly. Here we go. This is what he said about illegal aliens and so forth.
Nobody is going to be deported. There will not be another foot of wall constructed in my administration. Period.
Now, all of a sudden, he's the best wall builder ever because the public sentiment has started to turn on it. And we're finding out that all these illegal aliens are becoming a problem because they start killing people and they start committing crimes because the countries that are letting them over are not really letting over the best and the brightest. And if you say, oh, they're a bunch of criminals, all of a sudden, That gets pulled out of context as well, because he didn't say they were all criminals. He said, but they were releasing all the guys from prison into our country as well, and those guys are criminals, and we don't know how to distinguish one from the other. And, oh, but if you say that on national TV, they cut out the part that says they're all criminals.
This morning I had actually sent you a clip on Twitter. See if you can look at that.
I haven't seen it yet.
It would end up saying immigration on it. But to your point, we're basically in a situation to where you've got China that's paying people and sending people over here in droves, and then they're also having their backgrounds be obfuscated by China, giving them new paperwork, new information, and they're coming in, and they're getting these they're not visas, but they're getting these summons to show up 5 years from now. And at this point, it's anywhere from 5 to 7 years from now, and they're enemies of our state in our country.
Well, now you've got that one guy online that's yelling and telling everybody in Spanish how to take over everybody's property by being a squatter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, here is a headline. CCP's military growth largely funded by U.S.
We
wouldn't be funding them coming over and everything. No, not at all. It's all
good. No problem.
And you can fact check it. We know this is happening.
I guess when the liberal loons figure out that they're going to lose their property too, kind of like what that Russian KGB ex-KGB guy said last week when we played this stuff. He says it's like all the intellectuals in all these colleges. Useful idiots, and when they find out that they lose all their stuff too, they think they're going to be powered. No, we take them out and they shot.
Mm-hmm. That's why Trump said that he was going to cut the funding off to the universities and colleges that was coming in because it's being funded from China.
So let's play this little clip of Carlson here. And then we'll talk some more about the current state of affairs in our country. And, hey, let's talk about the Humane Society, and we're having a get-together down in the park. Really? I mean, that's what we hear.
Pet of the week?
Pedophile.
I'm not sure what that is.
No, me neither. I was going to say it's pablum for the mind. It's chewing gum for the mind. They are shoveling chewing gum for everybody's mind to sit out there and chew on it. If it has no substance, it doesn't matter. But we're the ones that are peddling disinformation because we see a conspiracy to defraud the American people that's pretty obvious if you just did your homework a little.
Yeah, we see them taking over our country.
All right, here we go.
It's important to remember that the United States is a great country. It's got hundreds of millions of really decent, hardworking, honest people living in it. Why is it run by people like that? Transparent morons who are corrupt, who are mismanaging everything. Like, why did we allow that? Good question.
They are using the government's monopoly on the initiation of force to take our tax dollars, public money. They use psyops to ensure that we're fighting amongst each other. This tyrannical government has taken over the country and is forcing our compliance.
Hardworking citizens, but who's in charge? Like a sitcom gone wrong, they're in power, exploiting us and our taxes. Their mind games keep us divided, manipulated by the government.
Among the many thousands of Americans who came to the Capitol building on January 6, 2021, were an awful lot of journalists, working journalists, and they were there because, among other things, it was a news story in progress, so they went to what we call cover the story. And the overwhelming majority of them worked for various organs of state media, the Associated Press, Reuters, the New York Times, the Washington Post, NBC News, and their job was to bolster whatever the people in charge claim is true.
Capitol Hill drama, state media swarms sipping the Kool-Aid. But indie reporters like Steve Baker at The Blaze, they're the real deal, daring to uncover truth.
But there were also some independent journalists there that day. One of them was called Steve Baker. He now works for The Blaze. And he was there for the same reason everyone else was there, to watch the protest play out and to cover it. And like so many reporters that day, he eventually moved with the crowd inside the Capitol building, and he did so peacefully to cover the story. We're not guessing about this. He did not show up to break windows or poke anyone with a flagpole. He was there to cover it as a journalist. And we have footage of it, of Baker in the Capitol.
So, apparently, in democracy land, we're supposed to be the ones calling the shots, right? We get to pick our fearless leaders and all that jazz. But hang on a second. What's this? Seems like certain folks are trying to play keep away with our choices. If you ask me, that doesn't sound like democracy. It sounds like a rigged game. And hey, if you dare speak up about it, well, good luck getting a word in edgewise. Seems like the powers that be have a knack for silencing dissent.
The key idea in democracy, to restate, is that the people get to choose their rulers. They do it most of the time through elections. That's how they express their preference. And their rulers rule them at their pleasure. When the population is no longer satisfied with a ruler, the population can change the ruler. It's called self-government. That is democracy in two sentences. So if you have a system that calls itself democratic, where the people with power prevent the population from choosing certain people to lead them.
Let's go to a quick break, and we'll come back and play a couple more minutes of that. And I have a theme with the songs today. Maybe you can kind of figure it out. Go ahead.
All right. With that, we will take a break, and we'll be back in about 3 minutes. We'll see you then.
Wrapped up like a douche, another runner in the night. Blinded by the light. Wrapped up like a douche, another runner in the night.
This is an encore presentation of Sovereign Minds on KCNR.
Tip to Robert on this one. He'll know who he is. He's Robert.
All right, come back
here. It's just Robert.
He's Robert. Okay, this is. Let's play the rest of this video, and then we'll move on.
Then you have, by definition, a system that is not a democracy. Again, by definition, we don't need to debate that.
Ah, democracy, the age-old tale of rulers by the people, for the people, or so they say. But hold your horses, because it looks like we've got a bit of a twist in the plot here. You see, when the folks in charge start cherry-picking who gets to sit at the cool kids' table, that's not democracy. That's just a fancy word for dictatorship with extra steps. And hey, why bother debating it? The writing's on the wall, folks.
This is not something that we have encountered in the course of American history until this election cycle, when you have the frontrunner on the Republican side, in fact, the frontrunner overall, the man who, all things being equal, will be the next president, Donald Trump, invalidated from running for office in certain states. And that's the product of a long-standing effort by permanent Washington to prevent him from running and prevent voters from voting for him. And they're doing that through the courts, as they so often do.
Well, 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 would you look at that? Seems like certain folks are trying to play referee in the game of politics. You've got Donald Trump, the ultimate wild card, getting sidelined left and right by the powers that be. And how are they doing it? Oh, just the usual song and dance, courts, legal mumbo-jumbo, you name it. It's like they're trying to play a game of keep-away with our votes, all while patting themselves on the back for being such good sports. Ain't democracy grand? Or is it just a popularity contest rigged from the get-go?
States. He's not rioting or attacking police. He's standing there watching what's happening around him, covering the story. But because Steve Baker wasn't wise enough to get a job with the Washington Post or the New York Times or any other news outlet that works for the Biden administration, the FBI singled him out, not as a reporter, which he is, but as an insurrectionist. And then they charged him with crimes for being there. The charges include disruptive conduct in a restricted building, parading, demonstrating, or picketing in the Capitol building.
The saga of Steve Baker, the journalist who dared to stand on the sidelines and watch the circus unfold. But wait, because he wasn't sipping the establishment Kool-Aid, suddenly he's public enemy number one, slapped with charges that sound more like a bad joke than actual crimes. Disruptive conduct? Parading? Seriously? It's like they're grasping at straws here.
And they meant it. They weren't joking. By the way, no one defended Steve Baker, none of the free press organizations that exist to defend working journalists stood up for him or said a word when Baker was arrested at the FBI office in Dallas. Here's video of Baker turning himself in. And as you can see, he was humiliated. They cuffed him behind his back, not because he posed a threat to anyone, but because they wanted to make the message crystal clear to everyone else. Only regime media will be treated as legitimate. Others will be crushed.
So not only did the FBI decide to paint poor Steve Baker as some sort of insurrectionist, but they also made sure to give him the full Hollywood treatment when they hauled him in. No free press defenders rushing to his aid. No, sir. Just a guy trying to do his job, getting cuffed and paraded around like some kind of cautionary tale. Message received loud and clear. Toe the line, or prepare to get steamrolled.
Donald Trump is now fighting nearly 100 criminal charges across the United States, for which, if convicted, he would spend the rest of his life in prison. Now, the first thing to know about these criminal charges is they're not what you were promised. You were told for 4 years that Donald Trump was a world historic criminal. And you might have sort of started to suspect that maybe there was some truth in that. Maybe he, a building inspector in New Jersey in 1975, and the remains would be discovered in the Meadowlands, and you like Trump, but you'd have to admit, yeah, he's kind of a criminal. But that's not at all what happened.
Yes, the Trump legal saga. Now there's a roller coaster ride for you. Remember all those promises of grand criminal revelations? Well, surprise, surprise. Turns out it's more of a snooze fest than anything else.
I think we'll stop it right there, but I think you get the point. I'll post that in the chat room, and I'll post it on my Facebook page. And you can watch the rest of that. Hat tip to Robert again. And, you know, and by the way, we're not a democracy. We are a constitutional republic, and a democracy is a completely different thing. You might have rules to vote in your representatives, but your representatives are not supposed to be making rules that circumvent your rights. That's why Founding Fathers said it was a mobocracy and a democracy was a lower form of government that they didn't want to participate in because it always ended up with the majority voting out the rights of the individual and sooner or later a dictator steps in. Sounds kind of like what we've got going on now.
Well, and it's you look at this whole dictator situation and about a week ago the elections in Russia were held. And there is some information that I'm getting from folks now that the ballots that they were using, they used special pens for the ballots. And then what they did is if they got answers that they didn't like on the ballots, they ended up going underneath them with a lighter and it ended up taking it away.
Are you implying or saying that the Russian election wasn't fair or rigged?
Uh-huh. And what's interesting, too, is...
Didn't we use special pens kind of one election? They wanted markers. And they didn't use lighters, but I remember the markers.
Putin wouldn't do that.
So apparently, from some of the reports that I'm getting back, is that the ink would actually react to the heat and it would disappear off the page, and then they'd write in what they wanted. And so that was what we're hearing as far
it's
as...
Not who, it's not who votes.
It's who counts?
It's who counts the votes.
Right,
it's who counts the votes.
What do you mean if you take them from this pile and put them in that pile, it can make a difference?
I don't know. We do have Jimmy, if you want to call in, he says it's off topic, but we don't care. We're pretty much open.
We do have another caller as well.
We do. We have Dick on the line. Good morning, Dick.
Hey, morning, Linda, Mark.
Hey.
I've been helping two nonprofits with the raffles. First one is CVAC, Sessa County Veterans Affiliated Council, and they were raffling off two items, only 100 tickets each, $10. The first one was the Henry 22 rifle, large loop, and those tickets have all been sold. The second one, I have 24 tickets left on Pit Boss Pellet. It's a pellet stove smoker grill. And I have the only 100 tickets at $10, and I have 24 of those left. They didn't go as fast as the a Henry rifle, but those rifle tickets are all been sold. Okay, the second one I'm helping is the Redding Grange. They're having a building fund. They need to repair their roof, and there's 200 tickets printed, $10 each. It's a Ruger LCR NRA Special Edition 9mm pistol. Features a 3-inch barrel, black frame, 3-dot sights, 7+1 capacity. Comes new in the box, and it comes complete with 300 rounds of 9mm ammunition. And I have only of the 200 tickets that were printed, I have 11 of the last remaining unsold tickets. All the rest have been sold. So anyway, if anybody's interested in buying, helping the Redding Grange and maybe possibly win a nice Ruger, a millimeter Ruger pistol, tickets $10, you can give me a call. My name is Dick Wilkinson, 530-246-9131, or drop by at the Big Red Barn with on Barrel Court, close to the traffic light at intersection of East Bonneville and South Bonneville. A lot of people don't know my wife, Fran, and I, but they know our house. A lot of people come by Christmas time. It's lit up big time. Anyway, again, my number, if you're interested in picking up one of the last remaining 11 tickets out of the 200, my phone number is 530-246-9131. And I have some tickets put away for some people who have requested that they want to buy some. I talked to them yesterday, and those people know who they are. I got the tickets put away.
Thanks, Dick.
Anyway, if you're interested, again, 530-246-9131. I have only 11 tickets left out of the 200 that's unsold.
All right. Thanks. Anyway, we appreciate it.
Thanks,
I will see you tomorrow.
Tuesday.
I will see you Tuesday, yes.
And then we got Jimmy on the line.
Thanks, Kate.
Good morning, Jimmy. Jimmy, are you there?
You're on the air,
Jimmy.
I'm here. Sometimes it's you don't hear you guys until there's a slight delay there. So, anyways, big shout out to Dick Wilkinson. That guy's a legend. I love him.
Yes, he is.
So, you guys have heard about Tyson Foods wanting to hire a bunch of
illegal aliens?
Yeah.
We have too many stories to cover, but that's a good one. Go ahead.
We kind of hit on it last week, but go ahead.
Okay, I didn't hear that part. I'm not really big on the boycott thing, but I am definitely not buying any Tyson chicken products, which I've never really been a fan of in the first place. And I would actually, if it's okay, call out a couple of companies that Tyson Food owns on your show. Can I do that?
Yeah, sure. They own quite a few, actually.
Jimmy Dean Sausage, Hillshire Farm, Sarah Lee, All Park Franks, and Adele Sausage. So I will not be buying any of these products anymore. I think it's completely deplorable that they're discussing that they're doing this. It's just beyond me.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to...
get woke, go broke.
Yeah, so I just wanted to throw that out there. Jimmy Dean Sausage, Hillshire Farm, Sarah Lee, Ballpark Franks, and Adele Sausage and Tyson Chicken.
You know, that's why you got to do the parallel economy. I'm sorry. I'm going to go back to the parallel economy and support the local ranchers.
Well, and on that subject, it's like Planet Fitness. They're doubling down on their go woke items of making sure that they have transgender bathrooms. I actually thought about going over there and getting a membership. And guess what? No.
Nope.
No. Exactly. Nope. So, there you go. Hopefully it's going to turn out for Tyson Corporation like it turned out for Bud Light when they did the Dylan Mulvaney thing.
Which I
don't even think was as bad as hiring a bunch of, illegal aliens.
I'm sorry.
So, anyway,
Thanks, folks. You have a good day.
You too. Well, they fired a bunch of regular workers that were working there to hire the illegals.
Yeah, this is the replacement theory that doesn't exist, because they'll tell you that it's not real, even though they continually talk about it all the time and do it.
And like I say, I go to the parallel economy, not only, you know, support locally, but you know what's in your food. Tyson, not so much. You don't know what's in that food,
Well, I would go a step further and say there's some cases you do know what's going on with that food.
Well, that's true, too. I guess you could look at it that way.
I watched a video in Epoch Times about what's in your food. You should go watch it. I'll try to find it, and I'll post it in the chat room or on the Facebook page. But it just tells you exactly what the foods are that you should stay away from no matter what anyway. And I was kind of surprised at a couple, like deli meats is one, for example. But I'll try and see if I can find that and post it. But the real deal is they're trying to poison us.
Yep.
Well, and the other big thing on it is, too, is you've got these chickens, the way that they're doing it now, they've got all these growth hormones that they're giving them, and you'll have a baby chick that goes from basically an egg all the way to full grown in 4 weeks and ready to butcher. I mean, that's just a fact of the matter. And you go through and you look online, look up some of the conditions that these chickens are under, and I'm no bleeding heart, but when you end up looking at this, they don't have enough room to lay down or turn around. They're just stacked in there.
Well, not just that, but it's what they feed them too and what they shoot them with. People don't realize, like the cows and the pigs especially, now that they're giving them shots of mRNA, and the feed that they're feeding them, it's got all those chemicals in it. Mm-hmm. So by the time it gets to your plate, it probably glows, you know. Just saying.
Well, it's one of those things that anytime you have an opportunity to support your local farmers, anybody that has local, good, fresh eggs from you, just try store-bought eggs versus fresh eggs. I mean, it's night and day difference. Look at the yolk color.
Yeah, but the problem is we need to get more processors, especially like here in the North State, because we've only got a few processors, and they're getting backed up.
Yeah, but if you look at it, they've actually passed legislation that makes it to where they can't have any new processors for that very reason. They're trying to put the kibosh on it because you can eat the bugs.
And while we're talking about food, there was a big chicken farm down in Texas, you know, before we heard about, 30,000 cows down in Texas. You remember that? Mm-hmm. Now they hit a chicken house. There's a fire at a chicken house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Conveniently how that all works, you know.
Okay, I think I found the video here, and I'm going to post it. I'll post it online. I do want to see, where are we at here, 49. So we've got a couple of guests, and I think they're in here, but I want to play this video real quick from kind of feathers exactly into the next conversation we're going to have with our guests. This is from our friend JP, and it's kind of tongue-in-cheek as usual, but it's a few minutes, and then we'll go from there. Here we go.
Do you think America will exist a year from now?
I don't know, but it's looking like it's coming down to the main event between Trump and Biden, and RFK Jr., and whoever they surprisingly replace Biden with. But with so much riding on it, do you think this election will have integrity?
Wait, are you suggesting that all elections aren't 100% full of integrity?
No, I'm not really suggesting that.
Are you an election denier?
Are you an election denier?
That question's hard for me to process, but saying an election was stolen or could be stolen should be a high crime punishable by imprisonment. A lot of people have claimed such things, such as this one.
I believe he knows he's an illegitimate president. He knows.
You can run the best campaign. You can even become the nominee. And you can have the election stolen from you.
Yes. It's almost as though we're made to forget that such a credible person has said such things. Yeah, I'm just saying, with the upcoming election being so monumental, our votes are going to be really important.
I agree, so we should definitely vote early by mail-in ballots to help secure our election.
What?
Yeah, it's called ballot banking. A lot of Republicans are promoting it.
How does voting early by mail protect your vote?
Because it puts your vote in the hands of another person for a long period of time, where you get to have faith that they won't accidentally lose it, throw it away, or allow another single person to access it.
Huh.
And then on election day, they put it where it goes, where it will then be observed in a public way, starting at that point.
Did you know that if you vote in person on election day, then you just start at that point?
You don't want to do that. because remember with Carrie Lake's election, a lot of the voting machines accidentally shut down, coincidentally, in Republican areas, leading to long, frustrating voting lines. And they accidentally had the wrong size machines that couldn't read the 20-inch paper ballots. Therefore, a lot of the votes didn't even get counted. So this disenfranchised a lot of voters, leading us to believe that in-person voting on election day is no good. And therefore, we as Republicans need to vote early by mail. It's called ballot banking, bro. Did you ever think that? Never have. At least not my own thoughts. Did you ever think that highly accidental debacle with Carrie Lake's election might have been a ploy to get Republicans to abandon the most secure way of voting while getting them to willingly participate in a very unsecure way of voting while thinking it's the most secure way of voting? You clearly don't understand. It's called ballot banking. That sounds secure. Like, without even thinking about it, my mind automatically associates, like, Fort Knox with the word banking. And that word association makes me feel as though it's very secure without even having to think about it. Who exactly is trying to dissuade you from in-person voting to make our elections more secure? No, the RNC is doing what the DNC used to do. You know how the RNC is part of the Uniparty? Yep. And how over the years the RNC has spent plenty of time being at odds with President Trump, even though he's the people's choice? Yeah. And how you don't trust the RNC because they're an integral part of the establishment that you don't trust? Oh yeah. But you trust this initiative of theirs that seems to be built on a foundation of quicksand, where they're trying to get you to do what the Democrats were trying to get you to do in the last election? Yes. Because their don't vote on election day by banking your ballots ahead of time initiative is phrased in a very convincing way, positioning the deceptive Democrats as our common enemy. Therefore, I think the RNC's on my side because I'm forgetting about the Uniparty right now. Unless it's a PSYOP. But I'm pretty sure the things I fall for aren't PSYOPs. Only stupid people fall for those. Agreed. And when I fall for them, I deny that they're PSYOPs and laugh at the term like it's a crazy made-up thing that never happens. Awesome. Plus, I sense that another disease will be coming where part of the cure is mail-in ballots, just like the last election. That one didn't work out so well. Yeah, that one didn't work out so well, but I expect the same thing done over again will garner a different result. Thus, as a good, obedient Republican, I will be participating in ballot banking by casting my vote early by mail. Well, I don't know about you, but I'll be voting in person on election day. Long lines. Gonna be a hassle. Gonna be worth it.
As JP Sears nails it, there you have it. And I guess we have a caller.
Oh, too. We've got Maria on the line. Good morning, Maria. Are you there, Maria?
Yes, I'm here. I was going to tell you that yesterday, or the day before, I think, I heard on the radio on KQMS, I was passing by the kitchen and I hear transgender. And oops, I just listened to it. And it was some woman advertising a big meeting that they were having here in Reading to help all these transgender children, to help them with their transition. I was shocked, and I'm thinking, well, when is this madness going to end? I mean, I don't care if they want to be a lampshade or a pencil, just don't tell me. it's unbelievable. So I asked Dr. Fran, I said, well, look what's happening. And he said, well, this is just a hype from the media. Do you know anybody? And actually I said, no, but I do. I do one that thinks he's a guy, and he's a 17-year-old that thinks he's a guy. You know, you go, just drop your pants, you'll find out soon enough. I mean, I just don't get it. I mean, is that going on in Reading?
Well, I think it is
a little bit. I know you do see them.
I'm not sure what you're referring to, but you might be referring to Moms for Liberty, and they're having an event coming up. And I don't think it's to encourage people to change their gender, or even though that's not possible, but to deal with it. I'm not sure, but I think it's going to be more of a thing about the effects and the problems and that type of thing.
So what it is, I actually have been signing ballots or collecting ballots from people and signatures the last couple of days in regards to a ballot initiative that we're trying to get on that is to make it to where parents have to be notified if your child's trying to transition. And the next thing is that no minors are giving any type of hormones or sex changes before the age of 18. And then the last thing is no boys on girls sports. So that's one of the things that they've been doing. And then the next thing is that they have a event that is coming up, and it's going to be taking place at Wind River. I'll get you guys some more details on it.
Yeah, on April 4th. It's movie night with Chloe Cole. And the tickets are $10, and it's at the Rancheria. You can call, I guess you just go.
No, that's okay, as long as it's not somebody trying to help them. This is what I heard, trying to help those children in their transition. Well, I'm going, what?
If it's not like that,
that's okay.
Yeah. So, well, this is different, but there is people that do have it here in Reading that support the transgender. I don't know if there's an event coming up. I don't know about an event, but they do.
We don't know what you've seen, Maria, so we're just kind of guessing. And I
no, it was on the radio, so I was wondering if anybody heard it.
You're probably talking about the Moms for Liberty Shasta.
I didn't get the first thing. They did have a thing
at the Cascade Theater for transgender.
Well, maybe so, but I'm not sure what you're talking about. But the one coming up is for Moms for Liberty. It's a grassroots organization that stands for parental rights and to protect kids. Yeah,
then,
so,
then it must be. I hope it's that. And then another thing, have you heard of Mickey Klein?
No.
Well, it's the lady that went into the Maricopa County, and everybody, just nine people, he says, that's the way you do it. And she shows you how to get rid of all the corruption, and just you show them this is it by the bonds. You go after their bonds and all these, and everything changes.
I think I have heard this, but I haven't had a chance to research any of it to have an opinion.
It's amazing. I suggest that you do.
Yeah, there's a certain way that you have to go about, and you challenge their bond. And if they don't have the bond, then there's certain things that you can do because they don't have their bond.
What's the name? If they do have the bond...
That they have to use it, and you can remove them from office, basically,
with it. What's the name?
Mickey Klein, K-L-A-N-N.
Yeah.
She shows you how to go about it.
Yeah.
Because everybody should do that in the local. It starts in the local, and that's where it is.
Yeah, you have to. There's certain steps you have to take, and one of the first steps is requesting to see if they have a bond.
She says that
and all public officials have to have a bond.
Uh-huh.
Interesting.
Very, very interesting.
Yes,
okay.
It is.
All right.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in. We appreciate it, Maria.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And we're going to go to a break, and hopefully let's just play our music and not play our song that comes in at the beginning. I don't know if we told anybody that.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. They are at work in the Patapsco River in Maryland trying to clear the remains of the collapsed Francis Scott Key Bridge, which is blocking all entry and exit from the port of Baltimore. Crews began cutting the first section of twisted steel yesterday so it can be loaded onto a barge. They have 9 barges there along with 7 floating cranes and 10 tugboats. Speaking of tugs, might they have helped avert the bridge collapse in the first place?
Tugboats were not escorting the massive cargo ship Dolly when it lost power in the port of Baltimore and then slammed into the Francis Scott Key Bridge, toppling the span and killing six people. The disaster is drawing renewed attention to whether tugboat escorts should be required in the nation's ports, safely accompany increasingly big ships to protect bridges and other critical infrastructure. Cost-conscious shipping companies have over the years resisted calls for extended tugboat escorts, which add cost to every transit. Tayshia Stevens reporting.
Wall Street launches into the second quarter of the year tomorrow on the heels of a stellar first quarter, the rally driven in part by hopes of a Fed interest rate cut.
The stock market ended the first quarter in record fashion, gaining 47 points. The Dow closed Thursday at a record 39,807, while the Nasdaq ended just below its all-time high. The S&P 500 set another record, and over the first 3 months of the year, the S&P gained an impressive 10.2%. Tech stocks were among the market's best first quarter performers. Shares of Supermicrocomputer soared an extraordinary 255%. Rich Thomason reporting.
Hundreds of millions of Christians around the globe celebrating the risen Christ on this Easter Sunday. The celebrations were muted in the Holy Land, though, where the war continues. More on these stories at townhall.com.
This is Dennis Prager. I am excited to announce the all-new Pragertopia Plus. You can listen to my show whenever it's convenient for you, all commercial-free and all on demand. Now with Prager Plus, search topics, guests, and segments all the way back to 2010. And now a truly exciting new benefit, my monthly online video get-together for Pragertopia Plus members only. This is where for an hour each month, Pragertopia Plus members get an exclusive chance to ask me anything. That's right, anything. It's on video. I'll be talking to you and answering your questions. We may even have a special guest every now and then. I've never done this. Submit your questions for me at Pragertopia.com. This is only available to Pragertopia Plus members. This is our chance to connect like never before. Go to Pragertopia.com or click the banner at DennisPrager.com.
It's been 1 year since a Wall Street Journal reporter was detained in Russia.
President Biden noted the one-year anniversary of Evan Gershkovich's detention, saying in a written statement that he's working every day to secure his release. The president said journalism is not a crime, and Evan went to Russia to do his job as a reporter. Russia alleges Gershkovich was acting on U.S. orders to collect state secrets, which he, the journal, and the U.S. government deny. The administration is also working to win the release of American Paul Whelan, who was arrested in 2018 in Russia. Greg Clugston, Washington.
French Defense Minister Sébastien Lecornu says that France is going to deliver hundreds of armored vehicles by the beginning of next year to Ukraine. In an interview with a French newspaper, he said the Ukrainian army needs armored personnel carriers. They are, quote, absolutely key for troop mobility. News and analysis at townhall.com. Japanese officials have raided a factory that produces health supplements they say have killed at least five people and hospitalized dozens.
The factory was closed in December, but the government said it decided to carry out the inspection because of the scale of the health problems linked to the supplements. Nearly 700 people in Japan have undergone or have requested treatment. More than 100 are in hospital. And the scandal has spread abroad, with a woman in Taiwan hospitalized with acute kidney failure. Kobayashi says a chemical caused by blue mold may be the source of the problem, but the company's been criticized for waiting until last week to make its concerns public.
BBC correspondent Michael Duncan. Today is Sunday, March the 31st, and some notable people are celebrating a birthday today, including actor Richard Chamberlain. He is 90 years old. Actress Shirley Jones, well, she's 90 as well. More on these stories at townhall.com.
This is an encore presentation of Sovereign Minds on KCNR.
Them to think they could die. Yet today, my love has fled away.
We do have a legend in the studio, and if you don't know why the music has had a certain slant to it, maybe you need to find out. I think there's a video out there. We won't go into details, unless you want to. I mean, I'm good with that, but one of our favorite people. Actually, that was the Platters, in case you wanted to know, not Bobby Vinton. Yeah, there's been a theme of, like, eye irritation, lying eyes, smoke in your eyes, well, yeah, just saying. Anyway,
okay.
Go ahead and introduce our guest, would you please?
Well, what do we want to do? Guests, we have a caller on the line, and we have town hall to do. So how do you guys want to work this?
Well,
I want to go to caller first?
Go to caller first.
All right.
We'll do the town hall after we introduce
okay.
our guests.
Are you there, Roberta? Good morning, Roberta.
I am here.
Hey, how are you?
Well, that last newscast got me to thinking, you know, they're cautioning people about giving to the GOP because the funds might go to support Trump in his legal battles. But I'm going to donate because it's because he's fighting for me that he's having these legal problems. And yes, I support his attorney. So that's all I have to say, Linda.
Well, we appreciate that. Thanks for calling in.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Have a Thanks. Great day. Yeah.
Well, it's deeply concerning. This last week we ended up seeing that the Trump campaign released that they had ended up going out trying to get bonds from 10 different places, and nobody would give them the bonds to cover it.
Well, it's interesting. When you try to get a $500,000 bond, it's there's not that many takers for that, and it doesn't even exist, quite frankly. Last I heard, he's got the cash, I think.
That's what I heard, too.
But this is lawfare. We all know it, but there's also a thing coming online that Truth Social is going to be going public here in the next day or two, and that's going to probably put $1 billion or $2 into Trump's pocket. So with that said, let's introduce our guests. We have Laura Hobbs, who I'm not even sure what your current status is at this point. Are you running? Are you not running? Are you still in the game? I can't keep up with all this stuff being, you know, in the middle of tax season. I've lost sight of the elections.
Yeah, here we are 3 weeks post-election, and right now my main opponent, which is Alan Long, he's 22 votes away from having a runoff with me.
Wow. See, I didn't even know that. And how are they doing a recount?
They did a full recount of Kevin Cry's
Was that a hand count?
Yep, they did a hand count.
I thought they didn't work.
Yeah, apparently they do. no, it's not that they don't work. They're not correct.
Oh, it's not legal. Oh, so let's introduce our other guest while he's talking over there. We might as well tell him who he is.
They're working on the microphone.
Oh, Richard Gallardo. He's in the studio. I do refer to him as a legend at this point. Anybody who's in the know knows what's going on and knows why we're playing a lot of songs about smoke gets in your eyes and so forth. But
I just want to say for 30 seconds here, people, please make sure to get some non-lethal and lethal legal tools to defend yourself and get training because you never know.
Wouldn't be referring to, like, pepper spray or anything
sure.
like that?
Sure. Yeah, pepper spray. There's stun guns, tasers, self-defense knives. There's all kinds of really cool stuff you can get. But, you never know when something, a situation is going to present itself.
But I think the key word that you said is training.
Training is key, absolutely. The tools by themselves are paperweights, so you have to have training. So, so please do so. TheLawOfSelfDefense.com, LawOfSelfDefense.com, please check that gentleman out.
So
he is an expert in legal defense training.
So in the training, is there like an aiming thing that you have to,
Well, sure. Well, there's legal issues, when and where, and how much defense to use, and which tool is appropriate. Absolutely. So
I'm still laughing.
I know. But please, this is a serious topic, right? Anyways, and I want to move on to the election stuff, but get some tools, folks. Get some training.
Thank you. All right. Nothing, very good.
Nothing on this mic yet.
All right, so let's go back to the elections here. I don't know if you guys heard the J.P. Sears thing.
Oh, yeah.
I played that kind of because, and let's do the town hall at the bottom of the hour.
Sure,
here.
We can
just so we get it in there. But the reason I played that is because there was some talk before the election about how you should cast your vote, with the Republicans coming out and some people that I know pretty well and I respect saying that we should vote by mail prior to, and I didn't agree with that, but you know, so much disinformation comes out anymore that it's kind of hard to make decisions anymore because we don't know what's information and what's disinformation, you know, and you can't trust where it's coming from at any point. You have to kind of do some research, and a lot of us are actually have lives that we have children we're raising, and
we're working.
Yeah. And so it's hard to keep up on every issue, and it's my biggest problem has been in the last few years is trying to figure out what is the most important thing that I should be concentrating on at the moment.
Well, the reason why we still don't have our election results is because of mail-in voting. So you still, if you vote on election day at the precinct, you go through the signature verification. That's done. You have a ballot that's not in an envelope, so there's no one that has to go remove it from the envelope. But if you mail it in or surrender a mail-in ballot on election day, they still have to do processing of that ballot. They have to send it through the JILIS, signature verify. They have a room full of nine ladies, temporary employees, that have to open all those ballots. So that is a huge bottleneck in us getting the results faster.
Yeah, because the way they reported, 100% precincts have already reported, and it's like, no, they haven't. They haven't even got 25%. It's such a game.
Yeah, and the mail-in votes keep coming in for at least a week afterwards. Yeah. Well, weeks afterwards, but they have to have a valid postmark.
Once you separate the ballot from the envelope, there's nowhere to verify any of it, is there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's correct.
So I guess we have a caller.
We do have a caller on the line. We've got Vincent on the line. Are you there, Vincent? Hello.
Hello. You're on the air, Vincent, if you're still there.
So far. But it's more important financially to every Californian. Ricardo Lara, that's the commissioner of insurance for the state. And it covers most insurance, including home mortgage and auto.
I think so.
That guy is seeking to really shaft us over.
I don't know who this is, and we don't talk to recording. We don't talk to
recording. Way up in the next few months.
Yeah, we don't talk to recording.
I think we're being trolled. So if I could just say real quick, Laura, she'd like to look over some of the election statistics for this current election cycle before the hour's up, and then maybe in the end a few minutes of how we can by November how we can put in some local corrections for our elections.
I have a few. Are they still counting them like daily, or how are they doing that? Because you know, I understood that they had the count pretty well done, and then they don't turn it in until Friday, but then it's 803 that are left to count, so where are we?
And did anybody demand the recount, or was it an automatic?
It's not a recount. It's an audit, basically, is what they're saying.
Oh, I'm sorry.
They're calling it a 1% canvas, but they're counting 100% of Kevin's race and about a third of my race so far.
So they're still counting the original ballots. So how many weeks later is it now?
Almost 3 weeks.
Almost 3 weeks, and they're hand counting them now.
Yeah. Well, some of them. So they choose which batches to choose and to make sure that matches with the computer.
So hand counting's not illegal, is it?
Ah, I guess not. Not in certain circumstances. Well, if we decide it is or isn't, if you're in there.
That's not
whose
decision it is.
Oh.
Check your mic over here. You might be able to
if you would, please.
Is it working?
Hey, we're in.
We're up and running. So
if you would, are they still counting, and do we still have 803? they say that we still have 803. Usually they aren't running the tabulator every single day. What they're doing is they're opening ballots most of the week and doing signature verification, going over the provisionals and the challenged ballots. At this point, that's pretty much all that we have left except for 500 mail-ins.
How many people are working on this?
Well, there's these 9 temporary employees, and then there's the regular election staff. I would say at least 10 of them.
So I would venture to say that I could have 800 ballots in my office and have a count done within an hour and a half with two people.
Well, yeah, that was one of my. What are they doing for the whole time? I mean, how long does it take to open an envelope and go? You know, put it here, put it there, check, you know, really?
Yeah, they're very inefficient in the way that they work. We've seen that as just witnessing the 1% and watching the way that they do it. They're actually handling ballots, and they're about half the time they're taking the ballots upstairs, returning them to the bat cave, bringing ballots back, and nobody's actually sitting there counting because there's two of the team of four that's taking the ballots upstairs and downstairs.
So do people get to observe them taking them upstairs and then
we did
now
not.
That they bring the same ones
no,
downstairs
we did not.
Or whatever?
No, those two ladies were carrying unsecured, unsealed ballots in the elevator, unobserved.
Nothing would happen. Okay.
No, it's okay. It's all right. We're supposed to trust them, remember?
I see.
Oh, you don't trust them?
Trust but verify, Mark. Trust but verify.
Yeah. We need more election observers down there to verify these things.
Well, that's kind of where it was going. So do somebody has to, like, stand there all day, every day for right now? Basically, we need people in there because we don't know when they're going to actually be counting them or what the hell they're doing.
Exactly. So I've been watching them every single time they use the tabulator. I've been there pretty much, except for at the very beginning. And we can watch on a computer screen what is happening, and oftentimes what's happening is the tabulator has the wrong date or has the wrong time, hasn't updated, or sometimes it just plain duplicates ballots.
Machines don't make mistakes, do they?
Well, their machines are quite lurchy, quite glitchy.
lurchy, I like that. Quite lurchy. Yeah, they're lurchy, all right.
They're lurchy in there. So what I saw was that after the time change, 2 out of the 4 machines didn't update. So they were an hour behind, and they couldn't get them to update. And I heard later from Joanna, well, that's because they're not connected to the Internet.
So that would indicate that sometimes they are?
That the other ones
well, the
are.
The other
but,
two that were working, they must have been connected if they had the correct
time.
I
thought they didn't connect to the Internet.
Yeah. So then the following day, 3 out of the 4 were not giving the correct time. The one that was working the day before now had a completely different date. It was a day behind, but the hour was correct. And so they were limping along with this one scanner computer combo. And when I say limping, I really mean limping because about half of the ballots they scanned, they had to repeat.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a serious problem. I was looking over the audit log. The audit log dates do not match the dates that I actually witnessed them running these ballots through the scanner. The audit log dates have dates on there like 2/8/24. Well, the election ballots were only sent out February 5th, 2024. So they obviously were not tabulating ballots back in February. So there's just a lot of things that you can see if you're actually there watching. That's why I encourage people to get down there and have a look.
Well, and the programmers can do anything they want, is my understanding. They can come in and they can pretty much change anything they want.
Yep, proprietary software. We don't get to see it.
Yeah, and so that's the first problem, I think, is the fact is that, they talk about transparency, but they don't give us any transparency at all, because how do you cheat? If you're an open book.
Mm-hmm.
And do you think there's any cheating going on seriously at this point?
I want to look at the cast vote record data to verify if there's computer manipulation, but we have enough evidence of things that just are not looking right. And one thing I wanted to talk about was the early returns by party. So one of the myths out there is that, well, it's the Democrats that vote early, and that's why you see
I don't think that's true. Is it?
Well, not in this county, certainly not. In all the four districts I analyzed, we had more Republicans than Democrats voting early. We had between 300 and 1,200.
Then why does it always come in that the first results are almost leaning Democrat every single time on every single race?
Yep.
It's called a narrative. They're developing the narrative.
Yep, and it has not always been that way. So in the past, you had variations between the early vote and the election day vote of between 0 and 7%, which is, you know, 7% in my opinion is still high, but it's nothing like what we're seeing now. Now we have variations between 20 and 33% in some of these races between the early vote and the election day tallies.
Why do you think that is?
I think it's a front-loading of fraudulent ballots, honestly, or removal of valid ballots for the candidate that they want to lose.
Well, if the dates are wrong on the machines, it could be a number of things. I mean, hello?
Yeah. And well, the audit log, that's how you go back and audit.
There's no way to trace it
if
down.
If you don't have
a
date, how are you going to trace it back?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Well, so you can make those numbers at any time you want. But
just like not having a proper chain of custody, which we do not have from beginning to end. Mm-hmm. When you have bad audit logs that are incorrect, those are legal government documents. So anything that's involved with an incorrect or maybe even fraudulent, incorrect legal document, the end product should be invalid.
Correct, yeah.
It should be invalid.
So yeah. I'm looking at your race right now on the county side. Is Alan Long a conservative?
Not to my knowledge.
Does he register in a different party?
I'll tell you in a minute.
So he registers.
He's an independent, I believe, yeah.
Yeah, American Independent Party.
See, I'm just curious because, you know, it shows him with 50.21% of the vote. And it was split between you and Sloan and Barrymore. I would think that Barrymore would have taken votes from him and not the other way around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mr. Long starred the first drop. He had 60% of the vote.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A four-way race? You kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me. I'm not pointing fingers other than...
I am.
You know, here's my thing. I don't trust any of it anymore. After seeing the 2020 election and everything that occurred with the COVID, with the ballots, with the boxes, I don't care anymore. I trust none of it. Yeah. And I want us to work towards getting a free and fair election, which would be voter ID, get rid of the boxes, no mail-in ballots except for veterans,
absentee.
Maybe, or people who can't get out
unlimited
of their...
Limited absentee.
Absolutely.
And can I say fair and transparent?
Yeah, you could say
nothing's
that.
Free in life.
You could say it again, too, if you want.
Fair and transparent.
I'd like to remind people of the Transition Integrity Project, too, that ended up taking place. And it was a game plan that they ended up having to prevent a contested election. I've got it pulled up right here. You have to know the name of it, the Transition Integrity Project. And you have Soros at the beginning of the year saying that he sees Trump as a purely transitory problem that will disappear in the 2020 election or even sooner. Now, you have a Soros person in this document and Bill Clinton and John Podesta that are all wargaming, and the only time that it didn't end up resulting in civil war was in a clear Biden victory.
Podesta is an absolute evil person. All you have to do is Google... If you use Google, I don't use Scroogle anymore, but any of the various different browsers, is Scroogle John Podesta's art sometime and see what comes up.
So why was our ROV having anything to do with Soros in New York?
It was D.C. Good question.
Yeah.
Well, she doesn't answer those questions.
Oh, well, yeah, she's not even in the office now. So, did she get her playbook and then bring it back to Joe?
She's got a big pay raise, and now she's...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, probably got a house in the Cayman somewhere.
Oh, Puerto Rico's a good place, I hear, because that's where Adam Schiff and them are. You know, go to Puerto Rico. Why not?
I want to read this one paragraph real quick from this document.
I'll let you go in a second. That's a tax reason, because in Puerto Rico, it lowers your taxes hugely.
Well, I know. Yeah. Anyway.
So this is in the event of a clear Trump win. This is clearly Trump win. This is what the Biden campaign encouraged. Western states, particularly California, Oregon, and Washington, to collectively known as Cascadia, to secede from the Union unless congressional Republicans agreed to set the structural reforms to fix our democratic system to ensure majority rule. With advice from President Obama, the Biden campaign submitted a proposal, one, for majority rule, and to give statehood to Washington, D.C. and Puerto Rico, divide California into five states to more accurately represent its population in the Senate, require Supreme Court justices to retire at 70, and four, eliminate the Electoral College to ensure the candidate who wins the popular vote becomes president. That is their game plan in the event of a clear Trump win. Who sounds like the party that's actually a problem and not doing it?
Well, they're fascist. They call everybody else fascist, but they're very totalitarianism, very communistic, Chinese, whatever you want to call them, socialist, which is just a baby step towards communism. So that's what they want. They want they don't want an election system that's fair and transparent, that the people are actually selecting the person that they want for to hold an office. They just want to have control over all the elections.
So, tailing off of what Dave just said, I'm looking at it right now, 2019. Assembly Bill 459, Electoral College Interstate Compact. This is a state bill that passed. There's many states in this union right now that have these bills. They've been passed, and they're just sitting on the shelf.
Right.
And eventually this Interstate Compact, that's exactly what Dave's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And we're already ready to do it. We passed it 2019. Other states have similar bills. So they're waiting for something to trigger to initiate eliminating Electoral College.
Well,
so
this is
Assembly Bill 459, 2019.
This sounds like their modus operandi anyway, because this is what they've done in the stock market and the large brokerage houses as well.
Yep.
They've slowly and over their time got the laws changed in each state so that now they can actually, if there's a bankruptcy in any of these big brokerage houses, they just can confiscate everything that you think is yours that you don't really own anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so that sounds like that's what they're doing. If you want to get more information on that, Google the Great Taking and watch that video.
And also,
that goes with universal, commercial code that they have changed in each state. That has to do with that.
So there was also, just this past week, there was a 45-minute episode and me and a friend did on a new program that we're doing. But you can find it on Rumble called 2020 Turmoil, The Soros Effect in Election War Games, or Tinfoil Soil. And that is going through and discussing all of that original election stuff, from Soros to the people that were behind it to that particular document. Because we're talking 5 months prior to the election. They were already saying we were no longer going to have Election Day. They were planning for elections to be counted up to 3 months afterwards in this document. Mm-hmm. And it's all fun and games until you realize that you've got a bunch of the former presidents and all the living former presidents and John Podesta that just got a new job, and all these people are basically tops of the state.
So what we've got to talk about is what can we do at the local level to stop this? I mean, mm-hmm. that's really what we have to do.
Yeah.
Is that the American people in each county is standing up across the board, but we're going to have to stand up even more. And it's probably going to get to the point where it could get ugly or violent. And my theory is this year is going to be ugly and violent no matter how we slice the pie, because if Trump wins, the left is going to get ugly and violent because they're not going to accept the results. And if Trump doesn't win, we're not going to accept the results. And that might be the whole plan here to begin with, is because we can't trust the elections either. And, if you look at just the numbers, there's no way Trump can lose based on the numbers that we're seeing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's their whole game plan with everything. I'm sorry, Laura. Is to divide us on this and cause all this chaos so that we don't get involved locally, so we don't start looking at it and making mm-hmm. them transparent mm-hmm. and holding their feet to the fire.
Yeah, they're trying to demoralize us, and that's part of the strategy. But locally, there's a lot that we can do. And the Board of Supervisors may canvass all election returns pursuant to California Election Code 25201.
What does that mean, Kansas?
Canvas means
Kansas, I'm sorry.
That's okay. It means it's the public process of processing and tallying all ballots received in an election. So basically it's counting the ballots.
All right. 1 second. We need to take a break, and then we'll pick this all up on the other side so we can run through everything.
I'm going to play the town hall. Yeah.
Okay. With that, we will see you in about 5.
Turn up in the Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org, and they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Everybody has been dealing with the availability of homeowners insurance in Northern California. Companies not writing your home insurance anymore are leaving the state altogether. Siskiyou Insurance has hired a specialist specifically for dealing with a homeowners crisis here in Shasta County. He specializes in what the market is doing, coverages, and which companies may be able to help. Call Brian Dews at Siskiyou Insurance Services for your home or auto consultation. Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
You can take us with you anytime, anywhere, live with our streaming audio feed at kcnr1460.com.
This is an encore presentation of Sovereign Minds on KCNR.
Just in case you're wondering, the title of that tune, that's Tommy Emmanuel, is Classical Gas. Just so you know that it still kind of feathers into our theme here.
Okay,
here we go. Town Hall.
Good day. Welcome to this week's Town Hall News Brief. I'm T.P. Johnson, your host, here with the latest local updates. Tensions run high as the fate of District 1 Supervisor Kevin Cry hangs in the balance with voting procedures coming under fire in Shasta County. The tight race for the District 1 Supervisor recall in Shasta County has led to scrutiny of ballot processing procedures at the Shasta County Elections Office. Supervisor Patrick Jones expressed concern after witnessing what he believed to be errors during the 1% manual tally. However, Assistant Clerk and Registrar of Voters Joanna Francesca explained that the ballots were simply being moved to the correct bucket after verification by two people as required by law. Some observers, including a candidate from District 2, complained about the limited visibility and audibility during the counting process.
Francisca clarified that this manual tally is not a recount and is governed by different laws. In other news, former Shasta County Sheriff Eric Magrini is embroiled in legal battles and controversy. Despite his employment as the Assistant County Executive Officer, Magrini has been absent from his duties, leaving crucial work unattended. Surprisingly, he has also become a licensed real estate agent while presumably collecting workers' compensation benefits, raising questions about his commitment and potential conflicts of interest. Magrini filed for a workers' compensation claim in March of 2023 for injuries sustained during his law enforcement career. Furthermore, a former Shasta County Sheriff has filed a civil complaint against Magrini, alleging illegal actions during the CEO application process and retaliation against former Sergeant Patrick Poller. As this multifaceted story unfolds, the community eagerly awaits the resolution of these troubling developments. Meanwhile, whispers in the halls of Shasta County are growing louder as employees find their voice through the whistleblower hotline. Shasta County has seen an uptick in whistleblower calls from county employees since a presentation by Auditor-Controller Nolda Short 3 weeks ago. While details remain confidential, many complaints revolve around human resource issues. Supervisor Kevin Cry has also received more calls and directed them to the hotline. The hotline is exclusively for current county employees, but every complaint is logged and staff works to connect callers with the appropriate person or agency. The Auditor-Controller's office oversees the process, ensuring multiple eyes are on each problem. Confidentiality is maintained unless written permission is given or criminal charges are filed. Detailed information from the caller is crucial for a thorough investigation. Finally, a Reading landowner's battle against squatters and litter on his property takes a dramatic turn as he faces steep fines from the city, prompting a heated debate over responsibility and authority. Mike Thomason, a Fresno developer who owns a 160-acre property along Cascade Boulevard in Reading, finds himself at odds with city officials over the illegal camping and environmental damage occurring on his land. The property has been a long-standing nuisance to surrounding property owners. Despite Thomason's effort to secure the area, the situation has escalated, leading to a $1,000 fine and a potential $65,000 penalty if the land isn't cleaned up by April 19th. Thomason argues that he lacks the authority to make arrests and that fire mitigation measures have inadvertently made the property more accessible to trespassers. As tensions rise between Thomason and the city, the future of the land and the partnership between the two parties remains uncertain. Stay tuned as this story continues to unfold. Thank you for listening to your Town Hall Brief. Become part of the conversation at Shasta Lake Town Hall on Facebook or at Town Hall News on X, formerly Twitter.
Wow, that was a pretty good town hall there.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Man, there's a lot of stuff to cover. We'll probably come back on some of that. Maybe we can talk to Kevin about it. Sounds like maybe the rats in the ship are starting to get a little nervous about what's going on there. And I think that's why we're having all of these upheavals over there. But let's get back to what we were talking about. I can't help but
I've got a couple of questions in the chat room. If you guys want to do those first before we get back to... Okay, one is, are there any particular races that you believe there's a voter fraud, or is it all races?
Well, that's a good question. So when I'm looking at the difference between the early vote and the election day tallies and see a difference of more than 20%, and I see that with Alan Long, Mary Rickert, and Matt Plummer, the yes on the recall, and also the yes on Charter County, so we have to look at these and take them in a case-by-case basis. But the huge difference between the early vote and the election day tallies is indication of possible manipulation. We have to look at the cast vote records to be sure on each race individually.
Well, and the experts like Javon Pulitzer and others that actually do look into these complex algorithms, the cheating, the manipulation, it comes and goes according to the algorithm. So it could be a particular race, and then it's the results of the surrounding, you know, candidates, and then the precinct results, and it's extremely complex.
Well, it's kind of like
so the answer
Jones,
is yes.
It's kind of like what Jones said. You don't cheat at every hand when you're playing poker.
Well, correct, and maybe you just cheat a little bit, or you don't cheat at all because it doesn't matter, right?
Or maybe
during
you
my
just
race,
cheat in the beginning and not at the end.
When I ran for SCOE 2 years ago, the race between myself and Author was it looked fairly textbook, like there was no votes being moved around between Author and I. But when I compared my race with the other candidates, that Mesa pattern literally went off the chart.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, and then the next question real quick is, can the BOS fire the former sheriff?
Well, I think he probably can, but they better have some cause to do that. And we can check into that, but he's not an elected official as a former sheriff. He's the assistant sheriff, or was. He's an assistant executive now.
They switched his position. And you're talking about Magrini.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So I think they could fire him, but they got it. You better have cause, I think.
Well, Magrini actually works for Mr. Rickert, the CEO.
Right, that's what it. He works at the pleasure of the board, so they could put pressure on him.
Absolutely. Magrini does not work for the board; he works for Dave Rickert.
Right, okay, but there is some inquiry going on in regards to Magrini right now to answer the question. Yeah. Now, whether they fire him or whatever, we don't know, but they are looking into a lot of different things.
In that history, anybody who's been at the board meetings for a long time knows what happened with the going behind the enemy lines or the fire lines and all that stuff, and then him and Modi being buddies, and all of a sudden he gets rehired at a higher salary. I mean, that whole thing
That's part of the investigation, is seeing if he padded his retirement or whatever you want to call it. So anyway. I
don't know. How do you get a $40,000 raise a year?
That's only if you're Kathy Darling.
Because he was offered it and he accepted it. That's how it happened. Pretty simple.
Yeah. It's kinda like a contract. Would you turn it down if somebody said, here's $40,000?
Depends.
Most of us would ask some questions. Some people don't ask questions.
What do I have to do to get it?
Yeah. Ding, 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 ding. Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. So, you know. What difference does it matter? That was the problem with the board before, is they wanted to accept money from the government regardless of what the strings were that came with it.
But that's always how it works, is that it's like, you know, when you get bribed, you have to follow through and, you know, do what they're bribing you to do. And so then once you do that, it's kind of like what we're seeing with Biden up there. Now they own you. Now they own you, because now they can go public. Now it's all of a sudden, man, you're compromised. And that's what's going on right now with Biden and Hunter and all that stuff. So, to say that that doesn't happen locally, I think you're absolutely naive and living in a dream world.
Well, that was one of the comments earlier. Even Soros here in Shasta County, even Soros is there. Yeah, the reach is great. But anyway, let's get back to...
Yeah, I was wondering if Laura had any more number crunching she wanted to do before we talk about some remedies.
Well, I'm just going to basically explain why we may have that difference between the early vote and election day, and that's because the Mesa pattern of fraud. So what you expect, if you just have, say, 10 votes in an election, one more vote comes in, that can drastically change the outcome.
Right.
But after thousands of votes have been counted... and one more vote comes in, it's not going to change the outcome very much.
Right.
So with the Mesa pattern of fraud, so typically in an election, you'll see variation in the beginning, and then it flattens out. The Mesa pattern of fraud is different. You see the variation in the beginning, it starts really, really low for the person they're cheating against, and then it gradually rises up to the last point where they
figure out how many votes they need.
Yeah, they figure out how many votes they need, they front load it, and in the 2022 primary, we had the same exact pattern that was associated with a huge difference between early vote and election day votes. So Brian Caples had a difference of positive 27%, Bob Holsinger positive 34%, and he was running against our current ROV.
Mm-hmm. I see, and I just do not understand what's the resistance to hand counting? It seems to be the standard to make sure that is accurate in the first place. Why would you be resistant to IDs, hand counting, and making sure that this election was chosen, you know, the people that are being elected are chosen by the people and not by some group of people that wants to maintain power, control, or whatever happens.
I want my 40,000.
Well, I don't
know. And IDs and hand counting, while they're important, they're certainly not, they're in the top five for sure.
Right.
But
they're not
a clean voter roll is critical. It's critical. And there's many, many other facets of the elections processes that allow the fraud also.
Have you heard of this?
It all has to be transparent.
Have you heard of this Omega America?
No.
I'll forward this to you.
Yeah, I've heard of them. They don't have a good reputation with certain people in the cyber world. So I would urge caution. I don't know. I can't say.
The only thing I know is
I haven't worked directly with them, so this isn't based on
personal. It might be that people are disparaging them or not. I don't know for sure. But the reason I brought it up is that they're talking about the voter rolls is going after the voter rolls instead of going after the voters, because what they're saying is that they found that when they went one after the actual addresses on the voter mm-hmm. rolls. They would go there, and there would be 10 people at the same address, and there'd be an empty lot.
We have the same problems here.
That's
right. Same exact problems in this county. Absolutely.
So why wouldn't we try to share, to fix the voter rolls by going in that direction to start?
We are. That's one of our plans is identifying those parcels. Absolutely.
And it makes me wonder, too, because I've, as a candidate, gotten the voter roll, and I wonder if the voter roll that I got a copy of is the same that Runbeck got a copy of. Runbeck is the one who prints the ballots, and they're located out of Arizona.
That's a good question.
You know what I mean? Yep. So
that seems to be, to me, where the biggest cheating is occurring is the voter rolls.
Well, 98% of the system has an element of fraud in it. I mean, and it would take me hours to tell you each law and the fraud ingrained in each.
Well, Jones has said that they sued him in L.A. County to go fix their voter rolls, and they're talking about that here as well. Is that we might have to sue? Somebody might have to sue the county here to fix the voter rolls.
Well, Judicial Watch they sent letters of warning to California, Illinois, and I believe D.C. this past October, and gave them 90 days to fix their rolls. Illinois refused to do it. This was the state secretary of state in each state. Okay. So Illinois refused to do it. So Judicial Watch pulled the pin on a lawsuit there. Hasn't been began here yet in California, but I'm hoping because...
I heard that they were going to proceed with
it. Well, at any day now, Judicial Watch could file against our Secretary of State, and they should, of course.
Yes. Well, maybe that'll bleed over into our county.
Yeah, so what's some of the other solutions you guys were wanting to get out that we can do to help with the voter rolls or whatever we need to be more transparent?
Well, we can write local ordinances that mandate here in Shasta County, this is the way we're going to do it. So we can have hand counting. We can have one-day voting. We can have limited absentee balloting. We can write this into law. And then the ROV has a choice of whether she's going to enforce the local laws or the state laws. And
what's her allegiance? That's the question.
Yeah, what's her allegiance? And so then the U.S. federal government can't tell the states how they conduct their elections, right? Each state does it differently.
Right.
Well, the California Constitution is modeled after the U.S. Constitution. So the same applies here. And, in fact, out of all the different states, California has one of the strongest plenary rights to the counties, meaning that the counties have absolute rights in how they want to govern. And so there are curtain laws already on the books that give the authority to the Board of Supervisors and to the county, one of which is the one I already mentioned, and then there's California Election Code 19207 that grants authority to the county governing board to adopt any kind of voting system or combination of systems. And then also the California Elections Code 19001, the real will of the electors will not be defeated by any informality or failure to comply with all the provisions of the law. And so if the real will of the electors in Shasta County is determined by hand counting, then enforcing AB 969 or any other law would be in direct violation of California Elections Code 19001, which states compliance with the state law is secondary to ascertaining the true will of the electors.
So again, a lie they put out there that we can't do that, and we do have the power to go ahead and do it that way.
Well, and again, anything that we do, and if we pass items here before November, and I hope we do, we will be challenged by the Secretary of State and Attorney General. We have no doubt.
Of course,
Another idea is a separate voter roll that's not connected to the internet, because currently the voter rolls, there's many NGOs and other government entities, not just the elections and DMV, there's many that have their hands. It's basically like a live voter roll, and it's absolutely ridiculous.
So how would you go about doing that?
Well, we start with a template, and then we clean it, and then we make sure it's clean before you hit print for the next ballot. That's how we do it.
Disconnect it from the internet.
Right, so not connected to the internet, right. Absolutely.
Well, these NGOs seem to be a huge problem across the board because they're being funded. You know, it's like ACT Blue funding the Democratic Party, those kind of things. And they're a huge problem across the board.
You can't get public records from them, like Runbeck, for instance. We can't get any public records about how our voter rolls are being.
Well, what's happening is the government, the bankers, whoever the big kahunas are using them as a tool because they are doing the things that government can't do, but they use these as a tool because they can't be scrutinized like the guys in government can. There's no Freedom of Information Act for these people, so.
Well, we get the government side of the documents, right? So Runbeck has a contract. We can get that contract from the government.
But any paperwork created outside of that contract, we can't get because it's proprietary to Runback. Any paperwork created as a part of the contract with the government, we can get that document. But like you said, there's a lot of the proprietary documents we don't get because it's a private company.
Hmm. So, and I take it that they're the one of the only ones that can do the printing?
No, we can do it here locally.
Oh,
we should. We can.
The current law reads it has to be an approved printer through the Secretary of State. So, just like the approved machines, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see both sides of that, and that's the check and balance. I mean, if we have a corrupt county that's doing whatever they want, the state's supposed to have some authority to step in, and at the same time, they're not supposed to come in and run our elections. We're supposed to be able to put together a system that actually indicates that we're going to have, or the goal should be to have a fair, free election based on what the people want. Because two things are happening here is that either we've got a lot of liberals moving in or they're cheating based on the demographics.
or both.
Yeah.
And speaking of, I have some breaking news. On election night, we had the representative from Hart Inner Civic. That's the machine the county is currently using. He was sitting in Kathy Allen's office and working on his laptop the whole night, and he would go from there over to the Batcave, which is where the machines were located. And by all intents and purposes, it looked like he was administrating our election.
Why?
I know. Yeah. Oh, they'll come up with an excuse, no matter what.
I know they will. Excuse. So anyway.
Before we run out of time, I want to say something. We do all this research. We do all these meetings. We look into the laws. We look into the regulations. We look into solutions. But that by itself does nothing. The citizens who want change in the elections, they have to contact the Board of Supervisors. Mm-hmm. Go to the county's website. Look for Board of Supervisors. There's an email there. We have to show the support. The county Board of Supervisors will do nothing unless they see the support for this change.
Well, no matter who they are, they're a tool, and we have to start using them as tools.
Well, they're human beings, too. If they get zero emails that say we want to reform our local elections, they're probably not going to do it.
If you have a hammer in your box and you never pick up the hammer to use it, guess what?
Correct.
What about the
nails in the board?
The election commission.
They're doing good work.
They're doing the best they
can. They're doing as best they can with all the obstruction that they are having to deal with.
Does it help to contact them and the Board of Supervisors?
I would say both right now because for the corrections in November, here's what we want to do in November. We want a hand count. We want to have a clean, separate voter roll. Okay? We want a hand count at the precincts on election day with one day, paper ballots. That's at a minimum what we want to get in place for November.
Right.
There's other things to do. But time is very short. Time is very short to get all this in place prior to the deadline to get the ballots printed and then sent out. And I don't think we're going to avoid the mail-out ballots. I don't think we have enough time to do that. I'd like to, but this has to happen very quickly. And people need to contact the board. We have a couple of months to make these changes.
The clerk of the board, and if you ask her to, she'll forward it to the elections commission.
Absolutely. Get it to both entities for sure, but it's the Board of Supervisors that makes this happen.
And the clerk of the board is who?
Stephanie Bridget. But
Not Stephanie Bridget.
She's the DA.
Yeah, it's not Stephanie Blankenship anymore.
Stephanie Blankenship.
I think there's another guy. There may be another guy, John. But anyways, clerk of the board.
But you can go to the Shasta County website, go to clerk of the board.
Click on clerk of the board. That email is there. Absolutely. So send it to both.
Is there ordinances on the books already to shorten the time for counting? I'm just asking. No?
No. There's several draft ordinances that some of our Board of Supervisors are in possession of. So we're trying to get ahead of the curve here so that if we keep the majority here in another week or two, we can start passing some things quickly.
Hand counting is what would shorten the time, because if you hand count, you can have your elections results within a couple of days.
That's how it used to be. You vote on election day, you count them on, whole countries count them in one day and have the election results by that night. You know?
And not doing the mail-in. That's the other key factor, doing the mail-in.
2017 or so, Foster v. Love, Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court said, election is one day, and also local state law, election code 14,000. Your employer is required to give you enough time off to go and vote in person. It's already in state law.
Why don't we put a law in where you have to put your thumbprint on the ballot?
We can do that. By the way, Huntington Beach, the city of Huntington Beach, a charter city,
just had in Measure A, and their voters approved by 54%. The voter said yes to voter ID. Now, Bontas, he's likely to sue them if he hasn't already. He's already warned them.
And you know, the thing is, they're tipping their hand, though, because if you're not for voter ID, then you're not really for a fair and legal election.
Mm-hmm. Correct. And our Board of Supervisors has also a draft for voter ID.
So with that, you brought up the subject to Charter County. So we got the Charter County passed, which makes, to me, no sense looking at the rest of the election. We got the Charter County passed, and we got the term limits passed. And I would think that the rest of the election would kind of reflect that vote block as far as the numbers, and it doesn't.
Well, that's the same, right? Most of our precincts, because we're a conservative county, if you go down the federal ticket, Trump, et cetera, right, eventually – right, we're going to see the same thing. We're going to see a huge Trump margin, but then we get people like Matt Plummer in. Are you kidding me? And Mr. Long, are you kidding me?
Right.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's the question. I always keep asking myself, if we're so conservative, one of two things, either they're cheating or we're having a bunch of liberals move in, because if we're so conservative, how do we have a Democratic voter register? How do we have a Democratic DA? How do we have a Democratic person in charge of the schools? How do we have a Democratic, the guy says, a sheriff, I mean, he said he was Republican, but he was funded by the Democrats. I mean, how come we have all these people that are in the highest possible positions in the county, mostly Democrat?
Our county is captured, and it's because of the elections. We need to end the cheating, get rid of the voting machines, and do hand counting.
I mean, at some point, two and two equal four, you know? And like my dad used to say a lot, where there's smoke, there's fire. And I think that we're seeing a lot of smoke to indicate that there's fire.
And it's not too late to decertify the 2022 primary. We need to make sure that those records are maintained because they're about to be destroyed. They're coming upon the two-year.
Yep. Okay, they did get certified, and then they'll do like they did before for the 2020. Well, they destroyed them. She destroyed them,
correct? Gonna, we're looking
to Why would they do that?
We're looking to then do an ordinance to extend retention of the 22 records. But real quick, because we're just about out of time. Our board this time has the option of refusing to declare, okay? They're going to be given a certification, and it's our board's job to declare the winner.
So what they're saying is they may not certify certain parts.
No, parts or the entirety of the elections. And that's an option that I don't think we've ever had the strongest case until this time to refuse to certify an election. There's so much evidence out there. And legal violations.
Well, and of course, the pundits will come out of the woodwork. Be prepared. You know, you got your local meatheads at the, you know, the news, the outlets, the radio. They're all going to come back at some kind of right-wing conspiracy.
What happens if they don't certify it?
We offer the solution. We're not going to certify until we don't declare until, and then we open up the books. We open up the books. We look at the voter rolls. We look. We recheck the ballots. We check the audit locks. We check everything. And we're almost out of time.
They really don't like you, do they?
That's okay. I don't like them.
It's mutual.
Before we run out of time, they want me to mention that the commission meeting is tomorrow at 2 p.m.
Yes, they're going into closed session, so 2:30 or 3 p.m. is probably the best time to arrive.
Okay.
And I wanted to say, before Dave does his classic sign-off, I have a new sign-off for myself individually, and it's keep your powder dry and your pepper spray full.
Government is not reason, it is not eloquence, it is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master.
Thanks for coming in, guys.
All gun control's racist. See y'all next week.
Okay. No, you won't. Next week, probably no.
And I ain't made by a Uyghur kid, pennies on the dollar. I'm made in the USA. It says so on my collar. I'm tried and true, red, white, and blue. My roots run way too thick. 'Cause I ain't made in China. 'Cause I'm American as it gets. And I'm head over heart doing my part to love the flag. Drapes over the caskets, the ones that don't come back.
KCNR.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta.